Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back and we're going right to the phones. And joining us, as he does every week at this time, one of our favorite contributors from Tightline Outdoors, Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
I am doing great. We've finally got a little bit of a break from that super hot weather, and we're going to get seasonal weather. It's going to be, you know, we're going to get some rain and a few cooler days. Then it's going to get back up in the 90s for a stretch. But that's typical of this time of the year, and everybody's thinking summer, and they're thinking camping and fishing. And we're going to talk some fishing here in just a little bit. But, boy, it's time to start thinking big game, isn't it?
It is, Terry. You know, and I just had this conversation with somebody, and they were kind of having that whole conversation of, you know, it's too early. And if you look at all the seasons, fishing, hunting, whether it's ice fishing, fly fishing, or any of them, the person who does okay in our sport, Terry, of fishing and hunting, is a person that kind of lives in the moment. But the angler, the hunter, anybody that's really into it, if you start living one step ahead, if you can predict what's happening, if you're one step ahead of all the game, both fishing and hunting, that's what truly leads to unbelievable success and opportunity. And that's what we try to really talk about here on the show. It's good to kind of live in the bite, but if you're one step ahead of the bite, one step ahead of the animals, that's what truly is going to open up an entire world of opportunity, of successful outings in both fishing and hunting. And that's why we talk about this. And with that being said, we always wait to really get full-blown into hunting until the young of the year are born. It's kind of one of those things. It's kind of a whole project and plan that I've put together over the last 20 years. And really, when the calves and the fawns hit the ground, that's what starts a true stable pattern. That's what's going to stop the animals from moving around. That's what's going to make them start bedding in the same area, drinking in the same area, feeding in the same area. And these are the same patterns that are going to hold true, especially into archery season, muzzleloader, and even the earlier rifle seasons. And that time is now. The fawns and calves are on the ground. So with that said, it is now time to start thinking about that upcoming hunting season. And I'm not saying you have to dedicate your life to it, but you are definitely now prepping some gear. You know, if you're going to get, if this is that year we're going to get a new bow, you know, all of our equipment is still extremely limited. We thought it was going to be a one-year thing with COVID. It's not. We are still really struggling to keep up with gear. So, you know, if this is your year to get a new archery setup, you need to do it now, because, you know, you order it now, you might get it in a month, and then obviously it takes a while to learn new setups, you know, to dial in new arrows, tune broadheads, muzzleloader, same thing. I know that right now everybody seems to be stocking up on bullets, and in the muzzleloader world, not all bullets are created equal. You know, we're a huge fan of the Thor product. There's some new stuff by Power Belt, but there's a lot to those bullets, and it seems like the bullets are starting to be not, they're by no means caught up, but they're starting to be available a little bit, but powder is still extremely scarce. So I was talking to various retailers in the Denver region, and they have no prediction of when powder will be in. So that's one of those things that if you have a muzzleloader hunt coming up, you need to get the gear now. So one, you can practice and you can really get dialed in for that hunt. So everything, ammunition, rifles. So you need to get your gear ready, and we're also starting to scout. You don't want to have to rush your scouting. It's great if you can tie in a morning here, an afternoon there, and that all starts right now. So we are definitely starting to think about the upcoming hunts. Again, I'm not saying you have to dedicate your life to it, but it's something you definitely have to get started on right now.
You know, one of the things I love to tell people this time, and you're a big advocate of this too, is your scouting this time of the year can be a fishing trip to a high mountain lake or a stream. It can be a dispersed camping trip where you do some hiking. It can be another activity. It could be taking even your kids or your family out, learn the terrain and do a little bit of glassing while you're out there. But you don't necessarily have to just do that intense scouting right now. Just really start getting familiar with the area, right?
that's what it's all about. You know, actually tomorrow it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And with that said, we're actually doing that exact same thing. So we're taking the family, bringing the kids. There's a small pocket of a bedding area and this small drainage that I've been looking at, because I've been doing a ton of digital scouting, looking at it on Google Earth, and it's a spot that I'm planning on hunting this year. And I just want to get kind of a lay of the land. I want to truly look at the terrain. I want to look at the trails going into it. And exactly, so we're taking the family, taking the kids, going to make it a good trip. You know, we'll look for some antler sheds and make it fun. You do not have to make it dedicated. And I tell people all the time, you know, go camping or rent a cabin or a hotel, bring the family in. You know, you can sneak away, whoever's hunting, sneak away for an hour or two in the morning. I mean, it gets light at 5 a.m. now. So you can scout from 5 to 7 a.m. when the animals are on their feet and active. And you can usually get back to wherever you're at, you know, by breakfast time. Spend the whole day with family, making it fun, fishing, hiking, whatever. But you can still accomplish those scouting goals. So tie it into to activities so you're not just dedicated, again, to the hunting and making it so overwhelming. But again, the more you put your time in now, the more education that you obtain, the more successful your hunt will be this coming fall.
Great time to do some photography. I mean, the pictures you can look at after you get back, and you may even see things in those pictures you didn't notice when you were scouting, and you have fun taking pictures. Before we move on, I want to talk some walleye fishing with you, but before we move on, you are doing a big game series for Parks and Wildlife. Quickly tell us about that.
Absolutely, Terry. We're super excited about it. So I partnered with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. It's called the Big Game Hunting Series. I'm hosting the entire series. So coming up on Monday or Tuesday, we are dropping what we're calling phase one of infield scouting. It's exactly what we're talking about here. So it really breaks down in about a 30-minute video exactly what you're looking for in phase one of scouting. And phase one of scouting is right now when we're looking at what we call terrain and daily habits. So it's learning the food source, learning the water holes, and learning the bedding grounds. We break down all of those. What exactly you look for in food. Everybody's like, oh, it's a forest, there's food. But we break down what you look for in food. We break down the difference of ponds versus wallows versus creeks. We talk about bedding and when certain bedding areas are more valuable. So that'll all be available early next week. It'll be on their Facebook page, their Instagram page, their YouTube channel, and their website. And the following week, we actually break down animal habits. So we're going to be talking about finding animals, what you look for in animals. So when you go out scouting and you see a group of animals, you're not just saying, hey, great, I saw animals. I talked to you about what you looked at the animals as far as understanding timing, watching their behavior and what it means. And if you see a bachelor group of bulls, how do you break those bulls down to say, hey, I think bulls out bulls and how that's going to associate and break down into a harem and where that harem's going to go. So this entire series, we started a few months ago. It continues every couple weeks with content just on how to scout, how to utilize all the public land and all the tags that are available. I know that there's draws coming out, and the secondary draw just came out this week, where you can apply up until the end of the month. But there are so many tags available. People that sometimes aren't successful in the limited draw process, and they think that they can't do it. But even if you are 100% unsuccessful in the limited license applications, there are still what they call OTC, which is over-the-counter tags, available, and you can do it. So that's for you know, most animals. You have archery tags. You have second, third rifle tags, especially in the elk category. So there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of licensing available, and you can honestly, through good scouting, you can take any license and make it a good license. That's probably one of the biggest misconceptions that I hear is everybody's like, oh, I didn't draw anything good, so it's not worth going. You could take the worst tag in the world with the worst odds of success, and if you scout it properly, you build education, you put the work in, you can create success. So I would love just to take that and throw that out the window right now and have everybody kind of go into their hunt with a mindset of, it is all energy in to result out. I mean, if you put that energy in, you can create some great tags. And that's what the entire series is about. So look at all the Colorado Parks and Wildlife outlets coming up early this week. And you'll see that next video. And the week after, we'll be talking to animals. So it's a lot of great stuff coming out.
All right. Let's switch gears real quick. What's going on fishing-wise?
You know, Terry, there is so much going on fishing-wise. And I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about spinny real quick. And I would love to talk about some walleye action. Spinny is filling. We went from literally pushing water through Spinney at an extremely low rate earlier this year. So it did not open for boating, fishing. Obviously, it didn't open up until really that last week of May, late opening to Spinney. And I know everybody's anticipating the opening. And now that it's opening, a lot of anglers are struggling with the catch rate. The pike fishing seems to be very good, but a lot of anglers are struggling with trout. And everybody is wondering, you know, did the low water hurt the fishery or what's going on? And in reality, they were letting water out as much as it was coming in. So honestly, even though the water was rising slowly in April and May, they were letting so much water out to fill up all the reservoirs below it. The water level stayed fairly slow. Now they are able to hold that water. So Spinney is raising inches, if not feet, almost daily. So the water is coming up drastically fast, and the weed growth is not following it. So you had extremely low water. It dried out all the weed growth. So you basically had mud shorelines. And now that the water is coming up, those weeds take a while to grow back into that shallow water. So where so many anglers are used to going out and fishing this time of year in 4, 6, 8 feet of water, there is no vegetation right there. The mud snails have not moved back in there. There's no food in that shallow water right now because there's no growth. And therefore, the fish are not there. So I see so many anglers really struggling. And Spinney really right now has turned into either a game of utilizing your electronics or covering water. But I think just kind of a shout out to the anglers fishing Spinney, you have to really consider why those big fish are where they're at. We talk about this all the time, Terry, but understanding the whole system is everything. So you have to know what they're feeding on, know where the midges are hatching out of the vegetation, know where the scuds and the freshwater shrimp are at. And if you find that food source, you're going to find those big rainbows. So the small stalkers are kind of cruising everywhere, but those real big 20 to 25 inch rainbows are gathered up pretty good. And you need to cruise around till you find them. The biggest trick I can tell you is we're seeing a ton of fish in like 12 to 18 feet of water. Look for that vegetation that was not affected by the low water. And really, fishing low has been huge. So you're in deeper water, fishing tube jigs down low, fishing deep diving type cranks, deep spoons. But getting your baits down, really honestly, just a couple of feet off bottom in that 12 to 18 feet of water, and you will have an amazing day of catching those big fish. But you have to go into it knowing you have to seek those areas out. If you go to your traditional shallow water opportunities, you're not going to find success. So as the weeds grow, those fish will move into that shallow water. But right now, we are fishing where the food is at, and that's in deeper water. And that's how to create that success there at Spinney.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. Let's switch to the walleyes.
All right, Terry, it is that magical week. You and I talk about this every year. Fishing has been miraculous for weeks on end now, but we are officially at the point to where last year's shad are too large for that average walleye. And when I say average walleye, we all know what I'm talking about. We're talking about that 17.5-inch male, you know, that 18-inch female. But when those sub-20-inch fish hit this time of year, the shad from last year are approaching 4.25, 4.5 inches, even bigger, 5 inches. And those 20-inch fish and less are struggling to feed on them because the bait fish is too large. And these fish are hungry. I don't want to say they're starving because that kind of puts a negative word out there, but they're hungry. They're on limited food source, and they are now switching gears and feeding on anything they can. So they're feeding on midges, they're feeding on worms, crawdads, perch fry. They are eating anything they can because their normal food source is not available. We're going to have probably a solid week, maybe even 3 weeks, until we see the shad from this year show up. Our shad spawned a couple of weeks ago, but the fry from that shad is not hatched yet. They'll hatch here soon, but really the walleyes don't activate on this year's shad until they hit about an inch long. And that's going to be, you know, early to mid-July. So right now and going forth for, you know, the next week or two, it is absolutely as good of walleye fishing as you're going to have. And we are getting literally hundreds of fish a day. I mean, I had multiple 100 fish days at Cherry Creek this week. Chatfield strong. Pueblo's amazing. So if you've never walleye fished, now is the time because you can do anything. You can jig, you can live bait rig, you can throw cranks. If you put a bait near a walleye right now, they are going to take it. So it's just more understanding what that concept is of why they're feeding so aggressively. They're on a lacking food source right now. That food source will bounce back in a couple weeks, if not months, and we'll be, you know, cursing that bait fish because it'll be so hard to catch walleyes. But right now, it is time to walleye fish.
And just a reminder, this: if when you're fishing this bite, the big fish are able to feed on those big shad. Their habits are different. You're fishing for, like you said, those sub 20-inch fish. You're going to catch a lot of fish. You may only get a couple that you can keep for the pan, but boy, can you have fun. If you want to target big fish, you have to do something different. But it's just a great time to get out there, get anybody out there and catch fish. It's, and like you said, it'll last a while, and then it's going to change. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about when it changes and why I sometimes like that pattern when it does change. But, Nate, let's wrap it up. We got to get going, but got some things coming up.
Absolutely, Jerry. We're super excited. Next week, coming Wednesday, we have our catch rate event. We're seeing a lot of new anglers. We want to tell everybody out there, if you've considered, if you haven't considered it, come try catch rate. It's $20 investment, multiple species. We feed you food, great prizes. Everybody, come to Catch Rate at Chatfield this coming Wednesday. You can go to our website to get a bunch of information, but Catch Rate is Wednesday night, 4 to 8. We also have our night tournament coming up Friday night. That's 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Chatfield. So two different catch rates this coming week. We would love to see new anglers there experience this opportunity. So just huge shout-out about that. Go to our website for all of the information.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. You have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Nate Zielinski, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk about a great fundraiser that's going on in the outdoors. And one of our favorite partners is really taking part in it. We'll tell you about that and a lot more on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.